Imagine this. It always happens late at night. Lying in bed, gently winding down into sleep. And then your eyes begin to feel peculiar, kind of like they're being squeezed. And then you notice that the room around you begins to appear like you're looking at it down the wrong end of a telescope. Your bedroom furniture, the posters that I'm sure you have on your walls, and decorations, and the walls look tiny, like they're dollhouse-sized. But at the same time, you feel huge, like you could reach out and touch the ceiling with your fingertips. Everything looks warped, like there's a fisheye lens. But when you turn on your bedroom light, the room suddenly switches back to normal. The only other way to fix this thing that goes on is to fall asleep.
Was that the tease or is that the entire episode?
That's the tease. Do you know how long your teases are?
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. Carrie just teased us with something I've never heard of. Is going to tell us a tale about something I think a lot of you have never heard of, too. Well, I shouldn't assume that. Maybe everybody's heard of this except me. What? I'm assuming you listened to the tease.
His name's Dean. My name's Carrie.
Oh, I forgot about that stuff. Uh-huh. And I said what podcast this is. So I think we've covered the ground. Go ahead. Go ahead. Feel free.
We're going to talk. What I just talked about briefly was a firsthand account, not mine.
Oh, okay.
Of something called Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Ow. I thought it might be Gulliver's Travel syndrome.
No.
Sound like you're becoming a giant.
No.
Sort of. A little bit.
No.
Okay.
But it's called Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Alice in Wonderland. I'm going to write that down.
Okay. You do that. Okay.
You mentioned something about posters on the wall.
Yes.
Were they the classic Ferris Fawcett red One Piece posters?
Ferris
Fawcett. The famous movie star Ferris Fawcett.
I don't know. But we're going to go back in time. So get your timeline ready. 1904.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I still haven't written Alice in Wonderland syndrome. Let me go to that. So 1904. All right.
There was one of the first American epileptologists.
Okay. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
It's the study of epilepsy. His name was William Spratling.
It's very specific.
He published several case studies from patients for whom, quote, everything looked bigger just before they'd have an epileptic seizure. And then 3 years later, and that was the extent of it, I'm assuming. That's
he got distracted. He moved on to mumps and he became a mumpologist and then a rheumatologist.
But that's just one tiny little detail, you know.
So
about epilepsy. Epilepsy is not about things looking bigger.
No, you don't associate epilepsy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You think seizures, not things seeming huge.
And then in 1907, there was a British neurologist named William Gowers who also reported epilepsy patients who perceived objects to look twice their size. Just preceding their seizures during something called an aura, which I've heard of with migraines.
Aura.
But not seizures.
What is an aura? I think aura is like a colored glow around your body or something like that, around something. Is that what it is?
It's not around your body. I think people who have, I've heard it with migraines. I think they see things, right? It's an aura.
No, an aura is.
No, I understand.
The paranormal
definition.
Okay, so what are you talking about then?
I'm talking about apparently people who have epilepsy and people who have migraines have something. They're called auras.
Okay.
And I always thought it was visual. They see colors or something before.
I think we're talking about the same thing. So.
Well, they only see them in their brains. It doesn't really exist.
Well, people think they do exist and they're seeing an actual real thing.
Okay.
I think.
But not.
Well, I don't know who you to say now. We'll do it with that. We'll wait for the episode on auras. Okay.
And then in 1913, a German neurologist, Hermann Oppenheim.
If you had not said his name, I would have guessed his name is Hermann.
Why?
Because he's German.
Well, Hermann the German.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure all Germans are named Hermann.
No, I thought
Hermann
what
now?
Huh?
Well, I don't know. I'm asking. I'm not going to write it down.
Oppenheim.
Okay. Oh, okay. I will write it down.
He had seen a case of genuine hemicrania.
You're throwing a lot of big words out today.
Which is a one-sided headache in which there was, during an episode of violent migraine, an indescribable feeling of detachment of the trunk or extremity after an hour or even a day of spontaneous dizziness. So it's like somebody felt
dizzy, like, and then they felt
the body parts
disembodied.
Detached.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That would not be good.
Yep.
I don't want to feel like my arm's not part of my body anymore. I'd be scared.
And then in a 1952 paper published in the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease, an American neurologist named Caro Lipman noted that a great variety of hallucinations experienced during the migraine aura were still little known to the medical profession.
Are migraines considered something different than other headaches?
Yes.
Like completely different cause even?
Probably.
What causes migraines?
I don't know.
Didn't you have a migraine one time?
I've once or twice.
Mm-hmm. And they are qualitatively different from every other headache you've ever had?
Well, yes.
Oh, I've never had one.
I mean, it's debilitating. Yeah. I had to pull over on the freeway.
Woof.
I could not drive.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had migraines. He missed some games.
Yeah.
Basketball player. Famous basketball player. If you don't know who that person is, shame on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're bad. From what I understand.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just say, I'm having a migraine, when it's just a really bad headache.
Yeah.
And maybe they have not been diagnosed with actual migraines.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, who am I to say what somebody else's headache feels like? But
probably. Probably have a really bad headache.
Yeah.
You don't know. But migraines are something. I mean, do they diagnose them and they treat them differently? Ooh, does it mean you have a tumor?
No.
Are they associated with tumors?
Migraines?
Yeah.
I mean, tumors can cause headaches. I think that's different than a migraine.
Okay. Yeah. But migraines sound like, if migraines are causing these things, they sound like they're acting on your brain in such a way that does something very different than any other type of headache. So they're associated with these things you're talking about, these hallucinatory things. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm turning this into a migraine episode, in case you haven't.
It's really not a migraine episode.
All right.
So Dr. Lipman described things from 7 cases that he encountered after 18 years.
So rare.
Of studying migraines.
He was a migratologist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he's a neurologist.
I prefer migratologist. But
so these 7 cases, one was a 38-year-old woman who her symptoms began during her second pregnancy when she was only 19.
Ooh.
And she
second pregnancy? I'm not judging.
Well, it was probably, this was in 1952 when she wrote this paper. So this is an American neurologist.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Herman was a German.
Yes.
Caro is the American. Okay.
But she had one-sided headaches, which I've
what? It just means you have a headache on one side of your brain. That's super common. Everybody's had a headache that kind of, it centers in
a specific. I don't know, that it is in migraines, though.
Okay. Have you had a headache with this only, you know, you can kind of feel it's prominent in one specific part of your brain?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Good, because I was getting worried for 1 second.
Okay. She said she felt like one side of her neck was growing larger by a foot or more.
Ooh.
And then just one of her hips would balloon out also.
Was she actually seeing this or felt
feeling
like
it,
that?
Okay. Feeling it. She said she also sometimes felt like she was only about a foot tall.
Mm.
And then when she would look in a mirror, she would see, oh, no, I'm really, you know, 5'5", or however tall she was.
You didn't look it up?
How tall she was?
Yeah, you know, her height up? Okay, well, and that's fine. That's fine, Karen. You shouldn't be embarrassed by not researching adequately. That's fine.
This is all there is in Dr. Lipman's.
Oh, we're done with Dr. Lipman already?
No, for the 38-year-old woman.
Sorry.
Another woman in her 90s said she had been having migraines and Alice in Wonderland syndrome symptoms, but she didn't know that's what they were since she was a child.
And she didn't tell anyone?
She would feel, I don't know if she told anyone.
Well, it sounds like she didn't. Are they just the poo-poo it? No, your hips aren't huge. Just get.
Ugh. Well, this lady said she would feel like one ear was ballooning out like 6 inches from her head for a few hours before she would have a migraine.
Okay.
And she said she wasn't bothered by it because she could see in the mirror that it wasn't really happening.
I'd still be bothered by it.
Yeah. And then a 23-year-old woman, she said she would have such bad migraine attacks, she'd have to be hospitalized. And she said she felt her head growing huge and becoming so light that it would float up to the ceiling, but it's still attached to her body by her neck. And so I'm assuming that would mean her neck would be stretching, right?
Yeah.
And she said that this feeling would stay even after the migraine was over. And she'd feel like she was able to like look down at people. So like if she was, she could look at the tops of other people's heads if she was walking down the street. And then she said she'd be so annoyed when she realized she couldn't actually do that because she was really only however tall she was. She was very small. She was under 5 feet tall.
Oh,
so hers.
Okay, well, I'm glad you looked at someone's height. She had balloon head. That's a well-known phenomenon. I've heard of it.
Another 38-year-old woman described feeling very short and wide. In fact, she called it her Tweedledum feeling.
Okay, I like that.
And
she had a sense of humor about it.
Appreciate that. And it sounds like she lived out in the country, and she would, if it happened while she was walking home from like the grocery store, she would be at the bottom of the hill and her house was at the top of the hill. And she said it would just look like her house was miles away.
Huh. If she was going the other way and she's going to her house to the store and going downhill, did she ever try to roll down the hill because she felt like she's ball shaped kind of?
Mm-hmm.
She's just a normal woman. She's rolling down a street. Mrs. Johnson's weird. What was her name?
38-year-old woman.
But that 38-year-old short woman is weird. She always rolls everywhere. That's fine. She's having fun. She's living her best life.
So Dr. Lippman's descriptions of these things that happened in these patients' migraine auras sound remarkably like those in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland book.
Can I make an admission right here, right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've read Alice in Wonderland now.
It's very good.
I think I started it, but didn't finish it. Sorry. So Alice has these things where she's feeling, you know, like she's huge or parts of her body are growing.
No, it's an actual work of fiction. So.
Oh, it's not a documentary.
No.
That was my first mistake.
So like if she sees a cake that says eat me and she eats it and she grows really big. So big her head hits the ceiling of the room that she's in, and soon her arms go out the doors.
But this actually happened to Alice because it's a magic cake.
It actually happened to Alice.
Okay.
And then she sees a little bottle that says drink me.
Oh,
and
well,
she drinks that.
Now that's on her. Fool me once, Alice.
Well, no, drink me shrinks her back down again.
Oh, it could have made her even bigger. How does she know?
It could have.
Ballsy move, Alice. Ballsy move.
Alice in Wonderland, or is it Alice Through the Looking Glass? I don't know.
Something like that. I think it's just Through the Looking Glass. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland or something like that.
There's two books, actually.
Oh, that's right. There's two books.
But they are very psychedelic.
He was super high when he wrote them, from what I understand.
Well,
I think his opium.
We do talk about it later.
Lewis Carroll. I don't know if he was.
But he also suffered from migraines.
Oh, so he may have.
So these may have. He may have gotten these ideas because he had Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Oh, interesting.
Before it was called that. But so some other things that sound like things from Alice in Wonderland, the book, the illusion of being taller than you are in relation to ordinary objects.
And cats talking to you.
Yeah.
Playing cards, doing things, cutting off of heads.
Your head seem far above your hands for some reason. I don't know why.
Isn't that pretty normal?
Or much larger than the rest of your body. Your neck stretching and going up to the ceiling. One person said their body felt as if someone had drawn a vertical line separating the two halves. The right half seems to be twice the size of the left half. And one person said, I wonder how I'm going to get my hat on when one side of my head is so much bigger than the other.
This could have just been a lot of mushrooms.
Well, and then after a few minutes, the right half shrinks and keeps shrinking until it's smaller than the left half. So like I said, a lot of these things seem to be actually in Alice in Wonderland, and Lewis Carroll was a sufferer from migraines. And there was a period where people disputed that. No, he didn't have migraines. And then they found his journal where he did have migraines.
I've got a splitting headache. And I had a great idea for a book.
So he probably did have migraines. So these things were, what's it called when things are written down?
Words?
Documented.
Okay, there we go.
Documented. And as kind of like a footnote compared to things in Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
So
Lewis Carroll wrote symbols on paper. I'm not sure what the word for that is. And now we, okay, got it. Go ahead. Sorry.
And that was in 1952. Then in 1955, an English psychiatrist named John Todd.
1955, John Todd. That's the easiest name so far. Thank you for that.
Wrote about it. And he noted the similarity of the bizarre disturbances of the body image in the hallucinations. They called them hallucinations back then, of epilepsy patients and migraine sufferers, and he compared them to the things in Alice in Wonderland.
They don't call them hallucinations anymore? Is that a bad word now?
They are not hallucinations.
What are they? What's the difference?
Like distortions in perception.
Isn't that a hallucination?
No.
No. Okay.
When you're hallucinating, you actually feel like you're seeing something.
Don't these people feel like they're seeing something? They don't.
They're feeling something. They're feeling.
Okay, so we're never going to have someone who like looked at his hand and thought it was big. It's always feeling like it's too big. And then they look and go, it's normal. Always, every time?
When it's their body?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
But like in the first thing, in the tease that I talked about, like everything in the room looks like it's dollhouse size.
Yeah.
Okay. That is still a perception. It might seem
that
like
sounds like a hallucination.
It does sound like a hallucination, but it really isn't.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your word for it. I'm just going to believe you.
So,
and John, also, by the way, John Todd has two first names. Go ahead.
Yes, he does. So he called it the syndrome of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, damn. He was so close. He was so close. It's the Alice in Wonderland syndrome, obviously. Yeah. He was right there.
Well, it became Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Yeah, but he kind of blew it. He felt like someone renamed it because, God damn it. God damn it. I was so close. It haunted him for the rest of his life. John Todd, Dr. Todd.
I know. So even though he basically named it in 1955, it still remained very obscure.
It's rare.
You know, it didn't become a big thing.
You know what, Gary?
Clearly.
It still isn't. Just FYI.
But in the last...
Now that it's huge. Now that it's blowing up and it's all over TikTok.
But in the last 20 years or so, scientists and doctors have started to pay a little bit more attention to it. You know, because now we have MRIs and things like that.
I was actually going to ask you that. So when someone has a migraine or even a headache, can you do an MRI and see where, like, tell what's causing it? What part of the brain is causing it, I wonder?
I don't know.
Huh. Because I can see the migraines, you know, doing that and treating migraines or understanding migraines better that way.
So, yeah. Okay. I imagine so, because I would think migraines would be big business, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people have them.
Mm-hmm. These days, everything's a big business for the pharmaceuticals. There's nothing they won't sell you a pill for.
Well,
even things they make up.
Yep. Let's not get you on that soapbox. These symptoms were originally described as hallucinations, like we said, but today they are more accurately described as distortions of visual perception and body representations.
Wait, hold on. Distortions of visual.
Don't write that down.
Perception and, what was it again? And body
representations.
Body representations. DVPBR. I'm going to call it DVPBR.
Arising from a perceptual disorder.
I'm going to leave that part out and just call it DVPBR. That's enough.
Okay.
DVPBR.
Another characteristic is a distorted perception of time.
That sounds even weirder. Just getting high.
Which is also in Alice in Wonderland.
Is it really?
When.
I shouldn't have read that book.
I know. When she falls down the rabbit hole. And she's chasing a white rabbit.
Yes.
And she chases him into a hole. And in the book, it says the rabbit hole went straight on like a tunnel for some way, then dipped suddenly down. And Alice found herself falling down what seemed to be a very deep well. Mm. Either the well was very deep or she fell very slowly, for she had plenty of time as she went down to look about her and to wonder what was going to happen next.
Oh, you want to? I forgot nothing. That's interesting.
I thought you were going to say something.
No.
So everything says how rare Alice in Wonderland syndrome is. There are fewer than 200 cases that have been published in the medical literature since Dr. John Todd named it in 1955. Oof. Google it.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Thousands.
Yes.
Billions.
Tons. There are Reddit boards. There are other things.
So maybe it has blown up.
People saying, you know, describing these symptoms, or parents saying, you know, my child told me that, you know, their hands feel tiny or whatever. So it seems like everybody knows somebody, or everybody, you know, there are, it seems like it is not as rare as.
Or it's being misinterpreted, or it's being, you know, ascribed. Like you said, you got sick once and your hands felt like two balloons, aka the Pink Floyd lyric.
Yeah.
So, but you almost certainly did not have Alice in Wonderland syndrome, or I'm sorry, DVPBR. And that, so, but if your mom had known about it and it was these days, she might have written on a Reddit board, my kid had it.
Well, maybe I did have it. I had it once because I was sick.
It's not, so it's not always associated with either migraines or epilepsy.
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
And the majority of cases, the 200 cases, mm-hmm. involve children. Average age is 9.
Really?
Yeah, that's probably so around number the age of cases, I was.
Number of range of cases, 200 or billions. And
I don't know if I say billions, but...
Some of those first ones you said were adults, for sure.
Yes.
The Oppenheimer people, Herman. Or was it the Carol Lippman? Yes, his 7 cases. Those are all adults, weren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. But now they're kids? These days?
Well, I mean, there's still lots of adults with migraines.
The average age is 9. They can't be that many adults.
No, this was the reported cases that have been described in the literature.
Okay, then. That's just the vast majority of those are children.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And when children get it, it's not as associated with migraines and epilepsy, but it's caused... most often by some sort of infection.
So did you have an infection? Sick.
I must have because I was sick. Well, I had a fever.
It doesn't always mean a fever. It doesn't always mean an infection, though. Do you remember if you had actually for sure had an infection? You might have had a meningitis. You might be a ghost.
I might have
had
encephalitis.
You might have had German... What's that thing? The thing that involves the word German. There's a vaccine for it. German measles. I think you had German measles.
Pretty sure,
agree to disagree.
Because I have been... vaccinated. That's okay. Rubella. Everybody gets the rubella vaccine.
Well, we all know vaccines don't work. So you had German measles. I'm writing it down, Carrie.
I didn't. But with children, it's most often associated with encephalitis caused by an infection.
Yeah, I bet you had encephalitis.
The Epstein-Barr virus.
Oh.
And it's also been documented in kids who just had the flu.
Really?
So I could have had the flu.
Yeah, you could have. Or German measles.
So in adults, migraines are the most common cause. They said the syndrome occurs in approximately 15% of people with migraines, which seems like then it's not that rare.
Not at all.
I know.
Tons of people have migraines.
Yes.
And, okay, a non-scientific reaction to that, but I've known many people who have migraines. I've never heard anyone talk about that. Just in anecdotally, it's like, oh my God, this migraine is so, it was so weird. You would have heard that.
But I mean, how many people would you say you know who have talked about having migraines?
I'm going to say 124.
Then you know a lot of people who talk about their medical issues.
I'm a doctor.
I can say maybe 5 or 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And have any of them ever talked to you about this Alice in Wonderland that sounded like it? Okay.
Mm-mm.
I guess people just don't confide in you the way they do me.
Probably
people
not.
People just like to talk about the medical issues with me.
You're so approachable.
I am. Especially if you've had German measles, talk to me about it.
Causes include brain tumor, brain hemorrhage.
I was going to go there.
Scarlet fever, stroke, depression, and schizophrenia.
So lots of things.
Well, sure.
That's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's also been reported during sensory deprivation.
You know what else happens when you sensory deprivation? You turn into a caveman. True fact. Documentary.
What are you talking about?
Some classic movie with William Hurt, Altered States. Nothing. Oh. Nothing from you, Carrie.
Never seen it.
Great movie.
And it also during hypnotherapy and the altered states of consciousness that occurred just before falling asleep.
Oh.
And just before waking up.
Hypnagogic and hypnopompic dreams. Okay.
Which.
Interesting.
Which. Applies to the kid in the very first anecdote.
You know, I was thinking that. I wasn't completely sure what the topic was going to be. I was thinking that when you said he was just almost falling asleep. That was a tease, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The most common symptoms are feeling that your some part of your body or your entire body are either larger or smaller than they are, mm-hmm. and that objects are appearing smaller or larger than they are. But there are a lot of other symptoms, weird ones, including the inability to perceive color or motion,
really?
Enhanced depth perception, which I think would be the looking through it, looking like it looks like you're looking through a telescope kind of thing.
Enhanced or like a confusion of depth.
Yeah.
It sounds like, because enhanced means like you can tell how far away something is better.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound like that. So it's more like just your depth perception is kind of out of whack.
Yeah. The illusion that objects have been split vertically. Objects appearing flattened and elongated. Objects appearing rotated by 90 or 180 degrees.
You could fuck with someone. Like, everybody turn around 90 degrees. Act like you're not sitting there. Just...
And seeing multiple images as if looking through an insect's compound eye. You know, like
they
have those little lenses.
A kaleidoscope maybe? Or mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That would be weird.
So when you're seeing objects looking smaller than they are.
It's called fly sight, by the way. I just right now named it.
Fly sight?
Fly sight, yeah.
Okay. When objects look smaller than they are, that's called micropsia.
Micropsia.
Macropsia is objects looking larger than they are.
Makes sense.
Pulopsia.
Okay. Now someone just got, mm-hmm. a couple people got a high. They started they learned some Latin or Greek. I'm not sure.
That's when you see objects that look closer than they are. Mm-hmm. Poropsia.
Okay.
Is
when you have less money, but you actually have more money than you think you do.
Is
or less money? I'm not sure.
Objects further away than they are.
What's richopsia? Is that the other? Okay.
Dysmorphopsia.
Okay.
Is seeing objects or lines as distorted or wavy. Akinetopsia. Seeing objects as moving when they are stationary.
You read this and go, I'm gonna say every single one of these.
This is educational.
Okay.
Chloropsia is seeing objects in different colors.
At some point, we're gonna hit a badly named pharmaceutical medication because. You're getting there.
Here's
really
one that you don't even need to know Latin for.
Okay. I think it's Greek,
vision.
Actually. Zoom vision. Okay. Is where you see a lot of people on a panel in front of you and you could silence them if you want to.
That's seeing objects as magnified or like you're zoomed in. And then
I did need to know what it was because I thought it was the...
Micropsia and macropsia. Mm-hmm. That's when it's other objects. When it's the feeling of your own body being mm-hmm. bigger or smaller, that's... Microsomatognosia.
Okay. All right.
That's smaller. And macrosomatognosia is when your body or body parts seem bigger.
When you have zoomopsia, can you share your screen? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Levitation is one where you feel like you're levitating.
It's called Dua Lipa-opsiasm. I laughed at my own joke because that's fucking funny.
Wait for this one.
I'm not going to lie.
When you feel like your body has been split into two parts.
Yeah. Two parts. Yeah.
Somatopsychic duality.
Oh, that's a great fake word.
Derealization is feeling that one's surroundings are unreal or dreamlike.
I like that word.
Depersonalization is feeling like you don't exist or detached from your body or emotions. That. One could be very scary.
They also should probably rename that because that's already a word and is not that severe.
And distorted time. It's just the feeling that time has either slowed down or sped up.
It's called weedopsia.
Lots of times, these symptoms only last for a few minutes. Some can last hours, and some people even last days.
I was going to ask you that. How long? These are always temporary, but up to days?
They're not always temporary.
What? People have it forever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And
for the rest of their life, they're trying to share the screen because they have zoomopsia and no one can see their screen.
It wasn't zoomopsia. It was zoom vision.
Zoom vision. I'm
You're trying to give it a Latin name when it doesn't have
I just did. I'm pretty sure it's Greek, by the way. These words, macro, micro. Isn't that Greek?
Micro and macro?
Most of these. I think, I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
We're not going to look it up.
No. So lots of times it just spontaneously goes away. But if you have it because of migraines or epilepsy or something like that, if your migraines are treated, because there's medications for migraines, or your epilepsy is treated, then obviously if that's treated, then you're...
Will they typically last the entire time you have a migraine? What if you have a migraine for hours? Will they typically last that time, or are they short?
No, it seems like it precedes.
Oh, precedes.
Yeah,
because
it's associated with the aura, so which once, happens before the migraine.
So they go away when the migraine really kicks in, typically?
I don't know. Okay. Probably.
Good answer. You know, just lie with authority and that would have been fine. Yes, they do in 47% of the cases. Just do that.
I would assume that they do probably in a majority of cases.
In 61.3% of the cases. The average age of sufferer is 12.4.
There aren't a whole lot of studies on Alice in Wonderland syndrome, you know, actual scientific studies. But there was one study done in 1999 that showed that one-third of 297 adults sampled had experienced two Alice in Wonderland syndrome symptoms in their lifetime. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
But only two in your lifetime? I've had one in my lifetime.
I'm feeling a little left out. I'm not going to lie. I want to levitate.
And there's a, what's this guy? Oh, he's a neuroscientist and a science writer based in London. He's written a book.
What's his name?
Moheb Kostandi.
Was not going to go with that. Okay.
He says, we do not perceive the world as it really is, but our perception of the world is our brain's best guess at reality.
Mm.
Which we kind of know that, right?
Yeah. So, sure. Yeah. When we pattern form and things like that, we know that's, yeah, for sure. We know what you see is basically what you're, you know, what's what your eyes can do and how your brain processes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then so.
Yep. Our brain gets limited information that through our senses. Mm-hmm. And then it basically just tries to build whatever, you know.
Mm. I thought when you first said that, I thought he's going to go with like, these are people who have glimpses of the real world and all the rest of us. No. What we think is normal. It's not. That's the hallucination.
That would
be neat,
though,
huh? Did I just blow your mind,
college
student? I think I did.
You should write a book.
I think people have.
He's talking about that, the way we perceive the world, right? So this is also true about the way we perceive our own body. So it's the same thing. Our brain gets information in through our senses. Mm-hmm. And somehow there's some mechanism in Alice in Wonderland syndrome where that gets disrupted or distorted, right? And then our brain perceives our body as different than it is in reality.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the whole epilepsy and migraines, those are afflictions in the brain, right?
Uh-huh.
German measles, I think, also affects the brain. That's why you had it.
No, it doesn't.
Pretty sure it does.
It actually doesn't. So when Alice in Wonderland syndrome happens because of a migraine, they think it originates in the parieto-occipital part of the brain. The parietal area has to do with the perception of the body, and the perception of space, and the occipital area has to do with vision. So that makes perfect sense, right?
I hope people aren't picking up those zipper noises on the microphone there.
When it's related to epilepsy, it seems to originate in the frontal lobe. So it's different parts of the brain, too.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, though, right? Because migraines probably affect a different part of the brain than epilepsy does.
Yep.
What other brain-centered afflictions are there? Did you say these can be caused by brain tumors? Okay. So probably anything that affects the brain or the parts of the brain that impact perception can cause something like this.
I think I read cases, like anecdotally, people reporting this after injury.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Like a car accident or something like that. Yeah.
They had DVPBR. You thought I was going to let that go, didn't you? I'm not letting that go. The title is going to be something about DVPBR.
So they say it's so rare.
PBR.
That, you know, most doctors would never encounter a case during their entire career.
Yeah, but we've seen from the TikTok evidence that it's not rare. The Reddit, too. These are scientific bodies.
But you know what that
research.
Means?
What? It's people are lying on Reddit and TikTok? No!
No, that's not what it means. Oh. It means it's just not diagnosed.
It could be a little of both.
For a lot of reasons. If I had told my mom, hey, mom, last night when I was laying in my bed with my fever, my hands felt
like two balloons.
They were blowing up like they were big balloons.
You could have been listening to Pink Floyd.
She would have said,
shut the hell up.
You were sick. You had a fever. Sometimes our bodies feel weird when we're having a fever. I doubt my mom would have said any of those words.
No, I don't think she would have.
But I'm sure.
And she would have said it with a cigarette in her mouth and a Diet Pepsi in her hand.
If any of our kids had come to us and said that, well, how do you feel now? Fine. Okay. Tell me if it happens again.
Why are you telling me this? I don't care.
No, but I would say tell me if it happens again. There was one story, small child, toddler, probably a three-year-old, walking hand in hand, you know, holding mom's hand with one hand, grandma's hand with the other, and they're walking to the store. And the kid says something like, my hands are tiny. And the mom says, yeah, because, you know, she thought, oh, he's looking at the size of his hand in my hand and his hand in his grandma's hand. Yeah, your hands are tiny because you're a little boy and our, you know, we're big. We have big hands. And then it was, no, my hands are tiny like a doll's hands. So this kid had Alice in Wonderland syndrome. His mom didn't pick up on it.
No.
And, you know, she didn't take him to the doctor. She didn't, you know. And if you take your kid to the doctor for that, sometimes they're going to order a psych evaluation.
Oh.
Some doctors would probably poo-poo it, like, you're fine now, you know, come back if it happens again.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say the name of a doctor who would poo-poo it right there. I thought you were going to throw a doctor, a specific doctor under the bus there for a second.
No, and one woman, I don't know on what thing I was reading, but she took her four-year-old to the doctor because the four-year-old was having these kinds of symptoms, and she thought she was going to get her kid taken away from her.
Because the kid had these things?
Yeah.
No, that makes the kid. Well, she's been a little paranoid.
Well, they ordered a, you know, a psychiatric evaluation, and, you know, I don't know, some overzealous doctor might think you're... It's a sign of abuse, or I don't know. Who knows?
I think it's more likely the cigarette burns on his arm. That would, that's not funny. That,
it's not funny, but no. I know you're trying to be
sickened
funny.
That you'd laugh at that. But
so let me see where I am in my notes.
Page one.
I don't have pages.
Oh.
Let me see.
Oh, you're checking that place with the symbols upon it. That you're checking those. What are they called? Notes. That's right.
But
yes.
We talked about it happening with migraines and other stuff, but it can happen with no headache at all.
You have to wonder, though, even if you don't have a headache, something's going on in your brain that you just don't have a physical feeling.
Well, oddly enough, you can have a migraine episode without head pain.
What?
And so if you have an aura... Mm-hmm. Like it could be Alice in Wonderland syndrome symptoms or whatever other kind of migraine aura you have. Some people see like flashes of light and stuff like that, whatever they see. I think there's also sounds that people have with their auras, but it's called a silent migraine.
A silent migraine? Yeah. Could a migraine be anywhere else? Like some people might have a ball migraine. It's called a scrotal migraine and your balls feel like they're on fire. Just go get a big gulp.
I'm trying to
help from a scientific perspective. But wait, did you say the silent migraines also are associated with Alice, with, I'm sorry, DVPBR?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you do. I hope you do, because I don't.
I don't remember what it was.
We'll look in that place where you keep symbols that tell you things.
I forgot a word. Don't tell me you've never forgotten a word. No.
Well, I will not forget that you forgot a word for the rest of your life.
Rarely, but it has happened that it's a sign of a stroke or a brain tumor.
Yeah, that's scary.
But obviously, you're going to have other symptoms and stuff like that you would do.
Maybe not.
But it could also be caused by drugs, certain drugs. You might imagine LSD and other hallucinogens. So, you know, don't do drugs, kids.
He sounded incredibly sincere about that. Just kids.
So, there are neurologists who have done MRIs on patients who have Alice in Wonderland syndrome. But, you know, usually you're not getting them in the MRI machine during the...
Yeah, I feel like I'm forgetting more words now. Are you okay? Are you having a... Do you feel like your hands are big right now?
No.
Is your body in half?
The episode.
Okay. Your neck looks like it's just... I don't know if you know this or not, Carrie, but your neck looks like it's about 7 inches away from your...
No, I've never had it. Okay, never had any of those sensations.
By the way, you're looking down at me from the ceiling. Your head is a balloon.
So anyway, once it's passed, there's no sign in the brain. There's no unusual brain activity. They can't tell at all.
Is there, I just asked that a while ago, is there a migraine? Can they tell, if you're having a migraine and they got you in the MRI, or as you call it, the MRI machine, would they be able to say, yep, look, there it is, the migraine right there.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Oh, can you just, again,
I
just
no, I'm
make
not,
something up,
no.
state it with authority.
I'm not going to make anything
Damn
up.
It.
There is a doctor from Stanford. Dr. Sheena Arora.
Sheena Arora. Oh my God, that's a movie star name. That's a professional wrestler's name. Am I wrong?
Well, she's a neurologist and a migraine specialist.
Sure she is.
And a wrestler. She actually did scan the brain of someone, a 12-year-old little girl, who was in the middle of an episode. And according to, this was in 2008, she said the electrical activity caused abnormal blood flow in the parts of the brain that control vision and process texture, shape, and size. That all makes sense.
So maybe Rachel's little Barbie hands, we were just having this affliction, and she actually has normal size human hands.
Nobody's going to know what that means.
Hi, Rachel. Rachel, well, she's angry right now.
So somebody, a pediatric neuro-ophthalmologist, interviewed 48 patients who all had Alice in Wonderland syndrome as children between 1993 and 2013. 33% were traced to some sort of infection. 6% were migraines. So some children do get migraines.
See, you're making up fake numbers right now. You're stating with authority.
No,
people
I'm not.
Are going to believe you. Okay.
This is Dr. Liu, I-R-L-I-U. Okay. And 6% had trauma. And then in about half of the cases, there was no cause found. They couldn't figure out what it was. So a lot of these kids, and this was only 48 patients, but I don't know if it's this one, but there might have been another. I don't want to say that it's this one.
Okay.
Because
you don't get
I've
sued.
Already
I get
said
it. I get it.
Dr. Liu. But there was another one. Somebody had done a study of kids, and then later, like 10 or 15 years later, contacted the families again just to see if are they still experiencing these as adults, what's going on. And in a vast majority of the cases, the parents then reported, because I'm sure they asked follow-up questions, but that they had had symptoms as a child, that several other family members had had symptoms as a child. I read about one lady, her 7-year-old daughter had symptoms, and they kind of went away, that didn't happen all the time, but she thought, well, maybe I should, take her to the doctor just to cover all of our bases. She didn't seem like there was anything majorly wrong with her, but she took her to the doctor and they talked about Alice in Wonderland syndrome. Mm-hmm. She thought, oh, that's interesting. And then she thought, you know what? I kind of had this when I was a kid. But it went away. She grew out of it. And then she was talking to her 14-year-old son. He had had symptoms, just never told his mom. She talked to her own mother. She told her own mom this. And her mom said, oh, yeah, I had that when I was a kid, too. And then she talked to a cousin. And the cousin said, oh, yeah, I had that, too. So just in her own kind of immediate family, and I think her grandmother had said she had had it, too. That's
runs
a lot
in the
of people.
Family. That is.
So
that is.
So
they might have just trying to comfort her and go, we all had it. Everybody had it. You're fine. Don't worry.
It seems like it really does. So, I mean,
it runs in families. Could be genetic.
But that doctor who did that follow up study said he got got the same reports from a lot of those families that at the time when they were studying their child's symptoms, they were embarrassed or they didn't want to say and that's, I think one reason why the perception of it being so rare is, especially with adults, it seems like you're hallucinating. You don't want to report.
Yeah,
a lot of people feel like...
I wouldn't be embarrassed to report that at all.
Well, a lot of people said they feel like they were going crazy. And so they didn't want to report it.
They don't get locked up. I get it. All right.
Or find out
We don't lock people up anymore. Or find out they have a tumor, maybe. They're trying to live in denial.
I don't know about that.
I'm going for tumor. Or maybe they had German measles, and like someone I know, they don't want to admit it. It could be something like that.
It could have been when I had that weird virus.
German measles.
It wasn't German measles.
Oh, okay. German measles isn't a virus. Is it a virus?
Measles?
Yeah, German measles, specifically.
Well.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I should know that. Well, I don't know why I should know that.
Yeah, it's either a virus or bacterial infection, but it's an infection, so it doesn't matter.
Cover the bases.
So that's it.
That's it. That's all you have. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Sheena Arora, for having that name.
So bottom line is, I think it's very common.
Sounds like it. At least much, much more common than medical science thinks it is.
Yep. And most people, you know, if you have it as a kid, you grow out of it. Mm. And if you have it because you're an adult and you have migraines or epilepsy or something like that, you get those symptoms treated.
Yeah.
And typically a lot of people said, you know, once they knew that there was a cause and it has a name and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with my brain or whatever.
And that name is DBPPR.
That name is Alice in Wonderland Syndrome. They were fine. One woman said, when I found it had such a cute name, that made me feel a lot better.
I now wish I had it more often. I love Lewis Carroll.
Yeah. So as long as it's like, once you know that something's like how I would have weird heart feelings.
Okay. You didn't correct the vocab today, by the way. I like that.
I don't want to describe my stupid weird heart feelings. They were weird heart feelings.
Okay. I was sad. I had weird heart feelings.
Okay.
It does sound like that.
It would feel like my heart is beating really hard.
Tachycardia.
Or like that means hard. Or like.
Fast.
Or like.
Oh, hard.
No, not
like,
fast.
Okay.
Like boom. Hard. Like boom, if boom. I look down, I can see my
no
chest.
Way. Yeah. You actually could have had Alice in Wonderland syndrome that your heart is getting giant and.
Okay. No. Or it feels like my heart beats normal. And then it literally would feel like my heart flipped over and then flipped back.
Hmm.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Like, I that's can not feel good. It. It's that's jarring. Not,
yeah.
Yeah. That's scary, right?
It's very scary. Have you had a doctor talk about that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they told me it's fine.
Did they?
You're fine.
Do they take a thin object with color on it and put down notations on a small, flat, white object?
I don't recall that happening at all. Okay. No. Doctors don't do that anymore, Dean.
I feel like they do sometimes.
No, they sit at a little computer.
That's true.
And they.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And they say things, is Rayleigh still here? We're going to send you a bunch of pills? Okay.
So anyway, a lot of people say once they find out that there's nothing major wrong with me, then they're comforted and they know, okay, it'll go away.
Unless it's a tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they don't feel as good about it, I'm thinking.
But if I had these symptoms, I would go to the doctor.
I for sure would.
Just so they could rule out the worst possible cause.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm surprised that a lot of people are too embarrassed. Because I think I would. I mean, that's the significant hallucination that something's going on with my brain. Let's go find out what it is.
Yeah, I don't know, but I can see a lot of people being afraid to admit. Especially, what if you're a pilot?
Oh, for sure. No, yeah.
What if you're a cop? Yeah. What if you're in the military?
Firefighter or something like that. You probably don't want to admit any kind of debilitating.
What if you're Secretary of State?
What if you're an ex-president? Yeah, that would be. Yeah. I suppose.
What if you're a surgeon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could go on and on.
That's a lot already. I think there's plenty. What if you're a babysitter? What if you're a, I don't know, a dog sitter? Yeah. Then have you thought about that? What if you're a dog walker? People don't want their dog walked by someone that's going to hallucinate.
There are
so
also cases.
Almost everybody at this point.
There are also cases of people who have it constantly.
Oh, that'd be horrible. Yeah. That would be, for sure, at that point, you have to go to a doctor. We got to cure this. We got to fix this.
Yeah, depending on what their actual sensations are. Yeah, that it could be. But if you know, I'm not really looking down at everybody from 8 feet up in the, you know.
I'm now going to ask everybody I know if they have had
if they've
this,
ever had felt had this.
Yeah, I think we should start doing that.
I don't think you are.
I hope that if they had, they would admit it. Just like I hope if they had German measles, they would admit that too. That was our episode of Weird World Podcast. We thank you so much for listening. Until next time, we're going to get Carrie's German measles checked out. I assure you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.